Welcome to the sermons and teachings from the Catalyst Fellowship with Ipaye Michael. We hope the message you're about to listen to will edify you and cause you to experience exponential growth. And now, the message.
What is he talking about? Why is he talking about the Old Testament? Because the New Testament had not been written. So the Bible of the New Testament believers was what? The Old Testament. The Bible of the 21st century is what? The old and the new. Does that make sense to everybody? So he was writing to him and he says, you've known the scriptures which are able to make you wise unto salvation by faith. When you read the Old Testament, do you think about salvation by faith in Christ Jesus usually? Well, maybe not. Because Jesus, was Jesus even mentioned in the Old Testament? No. So what is he saying? The name Jesus at least wasn't mentioned in the Old Testament. The prophecy about the Christ was mentioned, but the name Jesus wasn't mentioned. So what is Paul telling Timothy? Well, Paul is telling Timothy now that when you read the Old Testament, you can receive important information about salvation. Are you getting what I'm saying? That the Old Testament is riddled with information about Jesus. Even though his name was not mentioned, the whole of the Old Testament is talking about him. Amen. And that's what he's trying to tell him. In the last few teachings, I've been showing you an approach to Bible study that would help you consider the whole Bible before making any major conclusion or before building any concept out of Scripture. How many of you remember that? I've been showing you the best way to approach Bible study, not to take the new and exclude the old, or not to take the old and exclude the new. How the Bible must be read what? Together. There's something called the harmony of Scriptures, or like she said, the scene. And what does it mean? And you must learn this as you go about reading the Bible. It means that every verse works together, each in harmony to the other, to emphasize the particular subject matter. What am I saying? Any subject matter that you pick in the New Testament that is in contradiction to the Old Testament is wrong. Are you listening to me? And any subject matter you pick in the Old that is in contradiction to the New is also what? Wrong. The Bible does not contradict itself. So every concept you pick in the new must be consistent with the old. You know, a lot of people think that God changed from the old to the new. No. The Bible says God is the same. Right? Yesterday, he's today, and what? Forever. So he would. Oh, the law was weak. Listen, that same God is still the same God today. The same God who punished people for sin in the Old Testament is still the same God today. And that's why we believe that there is judgment. You know, not many churches tell you about hell, but hell is real. Are you listening to me? I would categorically tell you, hell is real. There is judgment. Amen? There is judgment. That same God exists today. There's a reason why you saw that nature of him in the Old Testament not prominent, because he's trying to show you his just nature. Are you getting what I'm saying? He's trying to prepare you for a time where you realize that there's nothing you can do to save yourself except by having faith in his son. Please, are you listening to me? So in harmony of scripture, we see that the Bible is synergistic. Everything works together. We can't take one and ignore the rest. And so we must stop taking positions. We must stop taking ideas and concepts only from one part of the Bible in isolation. Let me give you an example. And some of you might relate, but I'll leave it at that. The fact that the Bible tells us that Moses removed his sandals when he came before God does not mean you will forever remove your sandals before you pray. Well, why? He says where you are is what? Holy ground. By the time you get to the New Testament, the Bible tells you then that the Holy Spirit came to live in you. It means that wherever you are, you as a person, you become holy. Are you seeing what I'm saying? If you hold on to that doctrine because Moses did it, and you forever, well, stone will injure your leg. Are you getting what I'm teaching you? This is important. There are reputations of God in the Old Testament that we find in full completion in the person of Christ. I'll give you an example. He says that God is our banner. He says, Jehovah what? Nisi, our peace. Jehovah Jireh, the all-sufficient God, following me. All of these reputations are seen in Jesus, because Jesus brought providential salvation to you. Jesus brought peace. Are you seeing how you must read everything together? This is very important. And so when you begin to read the Bible together, you begin to learn that the Bible is contextual. There's a full understanding of it. And so let's stop taking denominational positions. Let's start taking biblical positions. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let's start taking what? Biblical positions. There are some questions you cannot answer yes or no. Your denomination might allow you to answer yes to it, but biblically, you will be wrong if you say yes. I gave you one of those examples in the first teaching. Will a believer go to hell if he is caught fornicating? You can't answer yes or no to such questions. Are you getting what I'm saying? Denominationally, holiness movements, people will tell you, no, you're not going to heaven. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Denominationally, you know, I don't know why they call people, why people separate it, say grace people, work spirit. I don't get it. Denominationally, some other people will tell you, you know what? You're going to heaven. Well, here is the thing. The Bible will never approach such questions with yes or no answers. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you ask the Apostle Paul such a question, the first thing he will tell you is, how can you, a believer, be caught in such acts? Do you understand? He will not say the believer is going to hell, but he will first ask you, how can you? He will show you how it is impossible by nature for a man whose heart has been transformed to be caught in the bed of adultery. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Or fornication. Then after scolding you in the end, he will tell you, but you have a God who has died for your sins and who is merciful. This is how you get what I'm teaching you. That's why you can't take denominational positions. You have to be very careful. Very, very what? Careful. We must learn to think this way when it comes to the Bible. What does verse 16 of that text we are reading say? 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. What does that mean? That scripture is inspired by God. That this is God breath. And it says it is profitable. Greek word of philemos. It means it is advantageous. For the following purposes. Number one. Number two. Number three. Number four. So let's start with the first one. All scripture is profitable for doctrine. What is doctrine? Doctrine is what we believe and what we teach. Meaning you must get doctrine from the whole of the scripture, not from one part. What a church must make their doctrine is not about what sounds nice or what works for the people at a particular time. It must be from the whole of scriptures. Please, I get what I'm teaching you. That's where we get doctrine from. From where? From scriptures. This is important. Doctrine should be gotten from no other source but scriptures. Not your feelings, not your experiences. You can have a dream now and you see different things. If it is not consistent with the scripture, you cannot take doctrine from it. Please, are you listening to me? And that's why we confirm our experiences with the word, not the word with our experiences. Are you getting what I'm saying? The word of God is the standard. It's the baseline. So we get doctrine from scriptures, from the whole of scripture. You can't get doctrine from just the old. You can't get doctrine from just the new. You must get doctrine from the whole of the Bible. Please, are you listening to me, everybody? This is how we outline our curriculum. Everything must be from scripture. When we pray, it must be from scriptures. This is something a lot of people don't do enough. And some people go to the Old Testament to look for heavy sounding prayers. Isaiah, and thou shalt scatter it. Thy enemy. Amen? But you must take doctrine from the whole Bible. Because if Paul never prayed prayers like that, and Paul explained the Old Testament well, why should you pray prayers like that? Are you see what I'm saying? For example, we never saw any of the apostles, neither did we see Jesus pray for the death of anybody. So what are we doing now when we begin to pray for people to die? And we are so bold to pray such prayers. Anyone who is about to take my position, God, deal with them. Eradicate them. So what are we doing? Listen, and this does not mean you don't serve a God that can deal with people. You serve a God, but that's not your prayer point. Are you getting what I'm saying? We don't see such examples in the Bible. The Bible actually tells you that rather than that which to die, God will have them saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Are you seeing what I'm saying? It says to see that he wants to see all men saved and come to the knowledge of truth. So you must pray biblical prayers from the whole of scripture. Don't go to Jeremiah and look for prayer point on scattering. And he says, scatter their camp. Oh, ye Amalekites. That's what people do. Amalekites are real people. I get what I'm saying. Say, Lord, every Amalekite, destroy them. Amen? So we must get doctrine. Even your songs must be from scriptures. Amen? From the whole of scripture. Amen? Listen to the lyrics of the songs you sing. Jesus is the only Son of God. What are you? Amen? Are you seeing what I'm saying? In the context of him being the first begotten, the only begotten at that time, that would be correct. But know what you're singing. Some of you just sing any song, you don't know the meaning. I'm not saying the song is bad, but I'm saying you've been singing it all your life and you never asked the meaning. It's okay, say he's singing some. What are you saying? Because are you getting what I'm saying? This is important. Know what you're singing. I remember when I was young, we used to sing a lot of songs. Why, me, me, more, come. That's the meaning of song. Come, Holy Spirit, come. You know, so, but when I got saved, I asked the question, why am I still asking him to come? Is he not living in me? Are you seeing what I'm saying? Yes, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come feel this place. So, are we welcoming him to come again, or are we acknowledging his presence? So, I started singing a different song. I said, I know you are here, precious Holy Spirit. That's a more intentional song to what I know from scriptures. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Don't just sing any song anyhow. I wish I remember all those songs that I stopped singing. Yes, good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Lord. I know you come from heaven. The Holy Spirit is on the throne. When did the Holy Spirit get on the throne? What is it, the throne of your heart? If that's what it is, then fine. Did you think about it before now? Are you getting what I'm saying, everybody? So you have to make sure that everything you do comes from the Word, comes from the whole of Scriptures. Listen, examine every song you sing. Why am I singing it? To what end is this song? Is it correct scripturally? Please, are you getting what I'm teaching you? There are many songs I can't, you know. I remember then we used to sing, I want to see your face. I want to know it. You know, and I'm like, that is good that I want to see the face of God, but the Bible tells us that Jesus is the face of God. They asked Jesus that show us the Father, and he sufficed to us. Jesus said, have you been long with me that you don't know that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? Are you seeing what I'm saying? So if you want to know God, who is the face of God? Jesus. Then the moment you get saved, what you are looking for, you found in Christ. So there are contexts to sing the song. Because are you getting this? There are contexts to sing the song. Listen, there are beautiful songs. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. In the context of searching for living waters, you have found it in salvation. But in the context of, even though I found, I want more, you can sing it. You must know why you are singing the songs. Are you seeing what I'm saying? This is important. So, all of scripture is where you get doctrine. What is number two? Reproof. What is reproof? It means evidence. Evidence in all of scripture. So scripture gives us proof. Proof of what we believe and why we believe what we believe. This is important. So evidence for the things we believe is found where? In scripture. In the whole of scripture. That's where we get evidence. This is important. We get evidence from scripture. Number three, correction. Don't correct people based on your feelings. Have you seen people arguing like that? Hey, Twitter. I don't think that God, it's not about what you think, it's about what the Bible says. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are some things that you don't feel are right, but biblically is what is there. So correction, and also you that is receiving correction, as long as it's from the Word of God, you must be ready to receive it. You must honor the written word so much that if the correction comes from the Word, I accept it and I change my ways. That's the way to go about it. So we receive correction from the whole, and if someone corrects you, make sure it's from the whole of scripture. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And then number four, instruction in righteousness. This is important. Instruction in what? In righteousness. Very important. And this is how we must begin to think about Bible study. This is how we must begin to think about our study. So, you know, someone will come to you and say, there's no place in the Bible that happened. He has not read your Bible. Are you seeing the problem? So, we must begin to have a holistic approach 2-hour Bible study where we consider the whole text, not excluding the old, not excluding the new, reading it together. The way we read Bible today is not the way the apostles did Bible study. It's not the way Jesus did Bible study. Look at Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 and verse 13. I've done this study to you many times and I'll do it many times again. Luke chapter 24 and verse 13. The Bible says, "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem." Verse 14. "And they talked together of the things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus drew near to them and went with them." What is going on here? Backstory to this. This was resurrection morning. They were expecting that Jesus would have, you know, risen from the dead actually this time. And so, some disciples went to the tomb. They didn't find his body. They came back, they told the rest of them. And they said, "Oh, are you sure you didn't see his body?" So some other ones went there. An angel told them, "Why are you looking for the living amongst what? The dead." So they came back, and these two guys were of that company. So they were traveling now to Jerusalem, to Emmaus rather, which was about 3 hours they were walking. And then the Bible tells us that Jesus appeared to them. Please, are you following me? All right, let's read verse 16 together. Are you ready? All right, read with me. 1, 2, go. "But their eyes were restrained so that they did not," what? "Know him." Verse 17. So, do you understand the story? They were walking somewhere. Jesus joined them, but they could not recognize him. Right? Verse 17. 1, 2, go. "And he said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?'" So, what is going on? These guys are talking, but they are sad. Why do you think they are sad? Any guesses? Because they didn't see that Jesus had not risen, right? So their people went to check him. They didn't see his body. So they are not sure if he's up or not. They just don't know where his body is. So they were sad. Let's read the next verse. Verse 18. Read with me, everybody. Want to go? "Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem?'" I wanted to check if you are reading. Are you reading it to me? All right. "Want to go from are you? 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which had happened there in these days?'" Next verse. "And he said to them, 'What things?' So they said to him, 'Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people.'" Next verse. "And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him." Next verse. "But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all these, today is the third day since these things happened." Next verse. "Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us." Next verse. "And when they did not find his body, they came saying they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive." So they had heard the gist that, you know what, Jesus is alive. But why are they still sad? Next verse. "And certain of them, those who were with us, went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him..." Next verse. "So Jesus responded and said, 'Oh, what? I told you this is not an insult, right?'" What does it mean? Slow of heart to believe. What were they slow to believe? That Jesus is risen. Are you seeing what I'm saying? It says, "Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets." What prophets? Are you getting what I'm saying? They were slow to believe what the prophet has said. Next verse. Then it shows you. Can we read together? I want to go. "Ought not the Christ to have suffered this thing and entered his glory?" Next verse. "And beginning at Moses." What does that mean? Genesis. Why did he say beginning at Moses? Well, the books of Moses are what? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So beginning at the Old Testament, Moses, and all the prophets. He did what? Does this make sense to you? Open your Bible to the first page that has the table of contents. Open your Bible to the... you see that? Why? You see why you should bring your Bible? You don't have table of contents. Are you there? Well, what starts the Bible? What are the first books that are there? 1, 2, go. What are the last books? Read the last 4 books. Are those prophetic books? Yes, they are. And even though this was not the reference that Jesus was making, he was making reference to the Hebrew Bible, it is also in such division. Are you seeing what I'm saying? It's also in such division because the arrangement of the Hebrew Bible is different from our own Bible, but it's also in the same type of division. So what Jesus did here was that he did a Bible study for them. Hey, what are they trying to figure out? If Jesus has resurrected, where did Jesus go to prove to them? Did he let them see his face? No. Where did he go to do that Bible study for them? In the Old Testament. Are you seeing this? And then after that, later on, the Bible shows you that he revealed himself to them and then they could see him. It means that Jesus would rather have them recognize him through the scriptures first before even physically. Are you getting what I'm teaching you? So Jesus' Bible study started where? Are you learning something? Go to verse 36, if I'm correct. I'm correct. All right. Let's read together. So those guys got to the other people and told them, oh, we saw Jesus on the road and this was what he did. Want to go? Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. Next verse. But they were terrified and why not? Sir, you died now. You're telling us peace to you. How would there be peace? We just saw. Amen. They were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen what? A spirit. Next verse. Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your heart? Next verse. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have what? As you see that I have. And this is one proof that Jesus actually resurrected bodily. That is, he received a new body. Are you seeing what I'm saying? That they could feel. Are you getting what I'm saying? All right. Next verse. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Next verse. And while they still did not believe, for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? Next verse. So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honey. Well, this might also prove to you that in your new body, you might be able to eat. And the food might be sweet. So even when we die, we might just be able to eat in our new body. So, because I've been thinking about it, how will that time be? Like, like Lord, in this new Jerusalem, will there be founded here? Let's know. Amen. Next verse. And he took it and ate in their presence. Next verse. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was with. Are you seeing that? That all things must be fulfilled, which were written where? Now, this is a powerful word. All things must be what? You don't use such a word for something that is going to be canceled away. Please, are you learning what I'm saying? All things must be what? Fulfilled, which were in the law of Moses, Genesis to Exodus, and what? The prophets, and what? Concerning. What do we learn from this very simply? Number one, the law would not be canceled out. It would rather be what? Fulfilled. Number two, the law and the focus of the law is who? When he says the law, was he talking about the Ten Commandments? What was he talking about? The whole of the Old Testament. Are you seeing what I'm teaching you? So you learn two things from this. Number one, the law is not thrown away. It is fulfilled in the new. Number two, you learn that the law is concerning who? Please, are you learning something? Is this making sense to you? This is important. How many of you, is it clearer than the first time I ever did this? That's why repetition is important. I've taught you before, repetition is the key to mastery. A good teacher is not a teacher that shows you deep things every day. No, he's a teacher that can repeat to you the essential things until you gain mastery. Are you getting what I'm saying? So why does P. Mike do this introduction every single day, every time, sir? Are you not tired? It's so that you can get mastery, so you can get understanding, so you can have clarity. Please, are you following me? And this is important. So what did he do after that? Next verse. Let's read together. I want to go. And he what? Opened their understanding that they may what? He opened their understanding. The Greek word there is what? Dianoigo. You don't remember. What does it mean? Expound. Some of you, you know,
Spirit.
So he expounded to them the scripture. So he opened their understanding, meaning he showed them, he did a Bible study for them in the Old Testament, saying that this was talking about me, this was talking about me, this was, are you see what I'm saying? This was talking about me. When they used the lamb, it was me they were representing, because I'll be the lamb that will be killed for you. Are you see what I'm saying? He was showing them all those things so that they may what? Comprehend. Greek word? Tsunami. You don't used to write it down. That's the problem. The first one is what? Dianoigo. I'll spell it. D-I-A-N-O-I-G-O. Dianoigo. What's the second one? Tsunami. S-U-N-I-E-M-I. Tsunami. Which means to put together. So he expounded the scriptures to them so that they can what? Put together. Do you see that? That when you read the old and the new, you can see how they are united. You can put together your understanding. Does this make sense to everybody? Is this clear to everybody? This means that the Bible must be read together and not separately. The Old Testament must be read alongside the new, and the new alongside the old. Does that make sense to everybody? This is very important. Very, very important. And that's why we always say that the Old Testament is what? Okay, pause. I'm coming there. I'm coming there. Don't worry. I'm coming there. Prepare yourself. Amen. Jesus was speaking in John chapter 5. John chapter 5 verse 46. John chapter 5 verse 46. Amen. Are you learning something? Am I speaking rubbish? Okay. John chapter 5 verse 46. Are you there? Let's read together. I want to go. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for who is Moses? The guy in the Old Testament, right? If he told them those things, Jesus is saying you must believe him because Moses wrote about. So am I teaching you rubbish when I said that the Old Testament is about Jesus? Jesus himself claimed that the Old Testament was about who? Him. Does that make sense? Verse 47. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Does that make sense? Matthew chapter 5 verse 18. 18 and 19, we're going to read together. Matthew chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. Are you ready? All right, let's read together. I want to go. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot, one tittle will by no means what? From the law, till it is what? So is the law canceled? Rather, it is what? Fulfilled. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and... Okay, the same thing. Media TV confused me. Amen. What does verse 19 say? And teaches men so shall be called what? But whoever does and teach them shall be called what? So I'll be called great. Am I not teaching you the Old Testament now? Jesus said, don't cancel it. I'm not canceling it. I'm telling you that it must be read. What? Together. You must understand the law with respect to its fulfillment where? In the New Testament. Does that make sense? Is that clear? And this is important. From everything I've taught you, what do you think the central theme of the whole Bible is now? Old and New Testament? Jesus. And the gospel, the salvation plan. Does that make sense? So we said the Bible is a compendium of what? The Bible is a write it now. The Bible is a compendium of what? And what? The Bible is a compendium of the plan, the provision, and the announcement of salvation. I'll say it one more time. The Bible is a compendium of what? The plan, the provision, and the announcement of salvation. What are the three things again? Plan, provision. One more time. In the Old Testament, he did what? He planned it. In the Gospels, he did what? Provided. And in the Epistles, he was what? Announced. Does that make sense? So the Bible is a compendium of what? Plan, provision, and announcement of salvation. Amen? In the Old Testament, he what? In the New Testament, he what? And announce. In the Epistles, he what? And in the... In the Old Testament, he what? Plan. In the Gospels, he what? Gospels, he provided. How did he provide in the Gospels?
Because Jesus came and died in the Gospels. What are the Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Does that make sense? So salvation was provided in the Gospels because that was what detailed the story of Jesus' coming and his death. Then in the epistles, he did what? Announced, because they went on telling everybody that Jesus had died, was buried, and rose again. Does that make sense? And so with these, and I'm telling you now that the Old Testament is not done away with. The New Testament also is not done away with. They must be read together. So the Old Testament is the New Testament what? And the New Testament is the Old Testament what? The Old Testament is the New Testament what? The New Testament is the Old Testament what? Does that make sense? So the revelation in the New Testament was concealed where?
In the Old Testament.
Oh, you are so sure of yourself, right? Yes. Okay. The mysteries in the Old Testament were revealed where?
In the New Testament.
How about the mysteries in the New? Okay, so let's say one more time. The Old Testament is the New Testament what? And the New Testament is the Old Testament what? Revealed. Meaning that the things that were concealed in the Old Testament were revealed in the New Testament. Amen? Amen. And the things that were revealed in the Old Testament were shadowed where? In the Old Testament. So none of them are canceled. You must read it together. Do you understand what I'm saying? You must read the old in the context of the new and the new in the context of the old. Does that make sense? You must read the old in the context of his revelation in the new and the new in the context of his origin where? Does that make sense to everybody? Is this clear? So this is how Bible study is done. Jesus started from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers just to show himself in the new. So when you're studying any concept, you must start from the old. You must see what the Bible says about it before you then go to the new and see where it is revealed and explained. Is this clear to everybody? Now, we've been using this approach to study new creation realities, right? We said if we want to understand what new creation realities is, we must understand what the old was. If new creation realities pertains to the new man, old creation, I don't know if they are old creation realities, but old creation pertains to what? The old man. Amen? And so we explored the law. How many of you remember that? And where did we end? Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. I did a good time management in my introduction. Romans 3:23. Are you ready, everybody? All right, read with me. One, two, go. For all have sinned and come short of what? The glory of God. Pause. This is powerful. This is the whole of everything I've been teaching you in the Old Testament. The Old Testament clearly was showing that all have sinned. That's the summation of the law. That all have sinned. You can't do anything to please God of yourself. The law shows man's inadequacy to save himself, to please God. It shows God's standard, God's high standard. It shows man's propensity. So the law was a lost cause, because how do you give a man that already has a propensity to sin laws? Do you understand what I'm saying? How do you give a man who already has a mechanism in him? Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do. The ones I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Do you see what I'm saying? How do you give a man who already has a mechanism in him a law to follow? It was a lost cause. The law was never going to make man righteous. It was to show man's inability to meet up to God's standard. And so in the end, what do we learn about the law? Well, number one is what? God revealed his holy standard to man. Number two is what? Man gave man what? God gave man what? Free will. Number three is what? Man rebelled. That's the whole theme of the Old Testament. Man rebelled. Number four is what? Man is exiled. And number five is what? God saves man. Oh, yeah, check your notes where you wrote it. Are you there? You know this is school, Abby. The Bible school. Amen. Do you have it now? So, what I'm showing you is this is the whole theme of the Old Testament. In Genesis, the same thing happens. God shows man his standard. God gives man free will. Man rebels against the free will by sinning. And then after that, what happens? He's exiled. But after that, what happens again? God saves him. Are you seeing what I'm saying? The same thing happened with Cain. How many of you remember Cain's story? He knows God's righteous standard. He has free will. God tells them, bring sacrifices to me. Cain did not bring bad crops. Some of you thought Cain brought bad crops. He did not.
He brought the best of his crop. Abel also brought the best of what? His sheep. They both brought what they worked on. Do you see what I'm saying? It was not because he wanted to do wrong. No. God clearly told them, my accepted sacrifice is lamb. What was God teaching them there? He was teaching them that it will take the blood of one for salvation to come. Do you see what I'm saying? So Cain was not a bad guy in the sacrifice he brought. No. He became a bad guy when God revealed his standard and he rebelled by killing his brother. Are you getting what I'm saying? And what happened after exile? Do you see those four patterns repeating itself in the Old Testament? What's the first one again? What's the first one again? God shows his standard. What's the second one? God gives man free will. What's the third one? Man rebels against God's instruction. What's the next one? Man is exiled. And what's the last one? God saves man. Again, the children of Israel, the same thing happened to them. God reveals to them that Joseph, these were their fathers. Joseph is going to be his choice guy. Joseph is going to be the guy God will work with. What do? They rebel. They sold Joseph. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Then when they were hungry, what happened? Joseph is the one that saves them. Same pattern. Same thing. Are you learning something? Same thing. What happened to them again? They were growing in Egypt. Then they forgot their God. Do you see that? They forgot their God. They began to sin. They began to worship the gods of Egypt. Are you seeing this? Then, what happened? A new Pharaoh came that did not know Joseph. Then they went into slavery. That's a picture of exile. What did God do? He brought them out of that. He saves them. If you look at the song they sang after that, in Exodus chapter 15, verse 1, the Bible says, then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his riders he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Are you getting this, everybody? He has become what? So they were already learning that their salvation will be who? God. Are you getting this? They brought them out of Egypt. They were in the desert. God says, that is the promised land I'm taking you to. Go and look inside. They went inside and they saw the Canaanites. They said, they are too big. God said, don't worry, they are not too big. Then they rebelled against God again. The journey that should have taken 2 weeks took 40 years. Do you see that again? Same pattern. Please, are you learning what I'm teaching you, everyone? What's the pattern again? Autonomy. Right? God shows his standard first. Then he gives them autonomy, free will. Then what happens after that? They rebel against it. What happens after that? They are exiled. And then what happens after that? God saves them. Same pattern. Always. You go to Deuteronomy. Same thing. Their fathers did not see the promised land. Their children are getting there. There's a rehash of the law. Then the Shema comes in. Who knows the Shema? What's the Shema? That you shall love the Lord your God and you shall have no other God but your God. That was because they had continued in idolatry for a very long time. So they rebelled against God again. What was the outcome? Exile. But not yet, because it didn't stop there. Then they started to tell God they wanted a king. I've taken from Genesis now. Are you seeing the same pattern? We are almost getting to kings. They said, you know what? We want a king. God, he said, other people have kings. We want a king. God wanted to be their king. They said, no. You see, these other lands, they have kings. Look at the Philistines. They have kings. We want a king. So they got Saul. Saul was not God's king. Saul was the king they requested. Are you getting what I'm saying? Saul was the king they requested. Again, the same thing. God shows you his standard. I am your God. I am your king. They said, no, we don't want. Are you see what I'm saying? Because you have free will. God will not impose upon man's free will. They rebelled against him again. And what happened? Well, all the kings that came in kings, they were worshiping idol upon idol upon idol. God gave them David. Remember? After Saul. He says, you know what? Let me try and rectify this. But David was not just David. David was a pattern of the kingship of Jesus. That's why Jesus had to be under the line of David. God gave them a promise when he gave them David. He says that there would be a son that I will have. He will be a son to me. I'll be a father to him. But he will also be from the line of David. That was talking about Jesus. I don't have time to explain that together today. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you learning something, everybody? So, David came after David, Solomon. Then Solomon had two sons. Then the kingdom divided.
What happened to them after all of this? Babylonian captivity. Remember I taught you in Daniel. Have you seen the pattern again? What's the first one again? Standard. Autonomy. Rebellion. Exile. God saves. Well, we are in Babylonian captivity. I taught you this in Daniel, right? Oh my God, they suffered. They suffered. But that's the thing also. There were prophecies that if you turn to the Lord and call upon him, he would hear your cry. He said, if you turn to Jerusalem. That's why when Daniel was praying, he turned to Jerusalem to pray. God. You said, if we turn from our wicked ways, what were they doing? Idolatry. Now, this is where you begin to, the Old Testament is beautiful if you understand it. Don't worry. Gradually, you understand. Beautiful. So, you go to Hosea. Oh, my, this is beautiful. When you read the book of Hosea, how many of you know the story of Hosea? Do you know the story of Hosea? I'll tell you if you've never heard of it before. The Bible is so beautiful. Hosea is what you would call a demonstrative prophet. What is a demonstrative prophet? A demonstrative prophet is a prophet who doesn't tell you prophetic instructions by his words, but tells you prophetic instructions by his life. So what did God tell Hosea? God told Hosea, I said, go into the streets and pick up a harlot. Maria. Woo her. And Maria. So Hosea went, he got this woman, he wooed her, he married her. Then he came. After a long period of time, she went back to prostitution. She went to the streets. What did God tell Hosea? Go back. Toast her again. Rewoo her. And bring her back. Now, something peculiar happened when I was studying this. Then I went to the book of Hosea. In Hosea chapter 2 verse 14. The Bible says, therefore, behold, I will allure her. I will toast her. That's the 21st century language. I would allure her and will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her. I will give her vineyards from there and the valley of Acco as a door of hope. She shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the days when she came from where? The land of Egypt. The Bible is so crazy with allegories that the book of Hosea was a symbolic act of God's relationship with the Israelites. And God was so peculiar that he made sure that the wife of Hosea was from Egypt. To show them that the same way I saved the Israelites from Egypt, it's the same way you are going to call your wife Hosea from Egypt. Please, are you learning what I'm saying? From Egypt. Then we begin to see. So, if this woman is also from Egypt, you are learning that God has a constant commitment to his plan and his people. Are you learning something? So, the same way there was a first Exodus. What was the first Exodus? The salvation of the Israelites from Egypt. God is promising that what? I'm going to save you now from Babylonian captivity. Are you learning something? Let's read a couple of texts, then I'll move forward. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 17. I hope you're learning something. I know this Old Testament bits might sound confusing, but just pay attention, okay? Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 17. Are you ready? Are you ready? If you're sleeping, say aye. Okay. If you're awake, say I'm awake. If you're awake, say I'm awake. Okay. Ezekiel 11, 17, what does it say? Everybody read with me. One, two, go. Therefore says, thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples, assemble you from the countries where you've been scattered, and I'll give you what? Is it making sense? God is promising them that now you are in your second captivity, but I will gather you. I will gather you. Verse 18, what does it say? And they will go there, and they will take away all its detestable things and its abomination from there. Verse 19. Then I'll give them one heart. And I'll do what? What's this sounding like? Salvation. Are you getting this? I'll take the stony heart out of their flesh. Because they will continue to rebel until they have changed hearts. Are you seeing this? They will continue to rebel. They've been rebelling since Genesis. Until I change their hearts, they will continue to rebel. So new laws were not the solution to sin. New hearts. What's the solution? Are you getting what I'm saying? Verse 20, what does he say? That they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgment and do them, and they shall be my people, and I'll be what? Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. Are you learning something? You know, Mario is nodding like, wow, this is deep. This is... Are they preaching, have you? Okay. Sorry. Jeremiah 31, 31. Are you ready? You should be healing me like that. Preach. Jeremiah 31, 31. Are you ready? All right. Now, think about this. People are in exile. And a prophet is saying that God is going to call all of you out. He's going to give you a new heart. There will be expectations. Jeremiah 31, 31. What does he say? Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Next verse. Not according to the covenant that I made with the fathers in the days that I took them by hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was what? A husband to them, says the Lord. Next verse. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind. And what? Write it on here. And I will be what? And they will be what? My people. Next verse. No more shall any man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall what? From the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will what? And listen, the solution to the problem will not just be that God will give them new laws. No. He will write his laws on their hearts. But not only that, they will stop this constant sacrifice that they do every year that makes me remember their sins. It says, I will remember their sins no more. We are getting to where I'm showing you who a blessed man is. Because the Bible is talking about some people he's going to call out of darkness. He's going to call out of the world. Jeremiah 16, 14. I like to prove beyond reasonable doubt. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why I'm showing you many texts. Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 14. Well done, media team. Are we there? All right, everybody, read with me. One, two, go. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt. Watch again. Next verse. But the Lord lives who brought up the children from the... Let's take it again from 14. I want you to read it together. Are you ready? One, two, go. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt. But what will happen? It will be said that the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from the lands where he had driven them. For I will bring them. Do you see the second Exodus? I saved them from Egypt, but I will save them again from everywhere that they are scattered. Are you getting this? I would save them again. Isaiah 11, verse 11. There are numerous texts. Listen, this same text I read to you, I can show you in five other places in the Old Testament. Prophetic instructions. Are you seeing what I'm saying? That's why I feel like it's sad that there are Jewish people today who don't know that the prophecies have been fulfilled in Jesus. So when will it be fulfilled? Amen? When? Amen. Some of you are thinking now that, wow, that's true. Isaiah 11, 11. Let's read 11 and 12. One to go. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover what? Who are left from Assyria and Egypt, from Patros and Cush, from Elam and Shinar, from Hamath and the lands of the sea. Verse 12. For the nations, and I would assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed from Judah, from what? These are prophecies about the second Exodus. And all of these do not get fulfilled only when the Israelites come back to rebuild Jerusalem. There is more. So tell someone there is more. Tell someone there is more. Well, go to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. Please, are you learning something? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. Okay, we'll read 1 to 5. Are we ready? Let's read together. 1 to go. Comfort, yes. Comfort my people, says your God. Next verse. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare has ended. That her So, you are seeing that their salvation is tied to forgiveness of sin. Are you getting this? And will forgiveness of sin magically happen? So, even their restoration back to Jerusalem was not the end. Someone still had to die for their sins. Are you learning something? That her what? Iniquity has been pardoned, for she has what? Received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Next verse.
in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Oh my God. So, you were reading this in the Old Testament. Anybody could have been reading this. Oh, prepare the way in the wilderness. God is talking about salvation, right? Let's continue reading. Oh my God. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places made what? Then you go to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1. Did you see what you read there? That prepare the way. God was talking about their salvation, and he says prepare the way. Then you go to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1 to 6. And the Bible says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Next verse. Saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Next verse. For this is who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, do you see what I did there? The Old Testament is the New Testament what? New Testament is the Old Testament what? The things that were shadowed in the Old Testament are revealed where? So the explanation of the text in the Old Testament are found where? So what we read in Isaiah that says that they should wake up, salvation is coming to them. Matthew now tells you that the day John came and said, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. John is that voice crying in the wilderness. Are you getting what I'm teaching you? Who is the voice crying in the wilderness? It says, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path what? Next verse. Now John himself was clothed with what? Camel's hair and with what? Leather belt. So what did he start telling them? Next verse. All Judea, all the regions of Jordan, verse 6, people were what? Baptized by him in the Jordans, doing what? That's not the end. John chapter 1, verse 19. Oh my God, this will bless you so much. John chapter 1, are you learning something? Am I wasting your time? Okay, John chapter 1, verse 19. Are you learning? Now we're going to read 19 to 23. One to go. Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? Next verse. He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Next verse. And they asked him, what then are you? Elijah, he said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Next verse. Then they said to him, who are you? That we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? Next verse. He said, I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. As what? So, their call to salvation in the Old Testament and that prophecy of preparing the way, a voice in the wilderness, was fulfilled in who? John. Who is he preparing the way for? So the way they will be called out from all these scattered places was not just when they came back to Jerusalem to start rebuilding Jerusalem. Mm-mm. Because their sins will still need to be taken away. And their iniquities will need to be forgotten. So even though they came back to Jerusalem, their sins were not taken away yet. And their iniquities were not forgotten yet. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because there's still one that is coming. One that the voice is crying in the wilderness saying, make straight his way. Prepare. Prepare in the place for him. He's coming. All these prophecies are about one. Who John was prophesying about. John said, I am not the Messiah. He was here to do what? Make, prepare. For who? For Jesus. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 3. Verse 23. Are you learning something? Oh my God. The Bible is beautiful, isn't it? It's beautiful. If you can understand it, it's beautiful. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Oh, are you ready to read this? Do we have Amplified? I will start with this, but do we have Amplified? Yes? Okay, so let's start with this. Are you ready? Now everybody read together. One, two, go. What did I say this tells us about the Old Testament? Remember, that was where I started from. That it shows us about the law that we are sinners. But next verse, what does he say? Being justified freely by his grace through, that is in Christ Jesus. Next verse, whom God set forth as what? What does propitiation mean? Payment. For what? By his what? Blood. Through? To demonstrate what? His righteousness. Because in his forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. Are you getting this? Next verse. to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be what? Just and what? The justifier. So, how is God just and the justifier? Well, because he's just, your sins cannot go like that. He has to punish sins. But because he's the justifier, even though he punishes your sins, he came to die for your sin as your justifier, as the one who justifies you, as the one who pays for your sins. Let's read it amplified now. 23 to 26. Oh my God, this is beautiful. I'm going to show you some things that would show you, prove to you what I've been teaching you. Let's read together. I want to go. Since all have sinned and what does he say? What was the testimony of the Old Testament? Continuous rebellion. They could not save themselves. Continually fall short of the glory of God. Next verse. And are being justified. Amplified says, declared free of the guilt of sin. This is why you are justified. This is new creation realities. Declared free of the guilt of sin. Made acceptable to God. Remember, sin brought what? Death, separation. So until your sin is paid for, you cannot be restored to God. Amen. And granted what? As by his precious undeserved grace, through the redemption, that is the payment for our sin, which is provided in 25, when God displayed publicly before the eyes of the world as a life-giving sacrifice of atonement and reconciliation, propitiation by his blood to be received through what? This was to demonstrate what? Which he demands punishment for sin. So when he punished Jesus, he shows that there was punishment for sin. Hey, are you getting this? So God's nature did not change. He still punished sin, but he punished one for all. Are you getting it? This is the point to begin to rejoice. He says that he demonstrated. He says because in his forbearance, his deliberate restraint, he passed over the sins previously committed before Christ's crucifixion. Are you seeing this? Go to Hebrews chapter 8 verse 7. Oh my God. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 7. There are some texts that you probably did not understand. But now as you are reading the New Testament, is it making sense? Hebrews chapter 8 from verse 7. I'm going to read 7 to 13 first. What does he say? For if that first covenant, now remember I'm tying the whole series together now. If that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion for a second one, or an attempt to institute another one, the new covenant. Meaning there was fault in the law. Are you getting this? Are you learning something? Next verse. However, let's go back to NKJV, unless we'll spend a lot of time with this amplified explanation. Are we ready? NKJV. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 8, NKJV. Are you ready? Want to go? Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, does this sound familiar? What does it sound like? Ezekiel and Jeremiah. Those texts I read to you. So, hey, I hope you forget what I'm showing you. So, the Old Testament is New Testament what again? New Testament is the Old Testament what? The things that are coded in the Old Testament are revealed where? So when you read the New Testament, see it as the explanation of the old. So the writer of Hebrews is explaining to you what that prophecy meant. And he's saying, God would not have said, I'm going to make a new covenant if there was no fault in the old covenant. Are you getting it? So he then quotes that prophecy. So the problem is that some of you will read this and you'll not go and look for where it was prophesied. To understand. He says, not according to the covenant I made with your fathers. He quoted the whole thing to the end. Verse 10. For this is the covenant. So he quotes the whole thing totally to the end. And he's telling you that the reason why God prophesied this is because there was fault with the old. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 1. Who is lost? Why are you smiling? Do you get it? In between. Okay. I think you should re-listen to this sermon. That's how you get this kind of thing. But does every other person get what I'm teaching them? Clear? Okay. Verse 9, Hebrews 9:1. her. Just open your mind. Any blocker, if you need to slap your head, slap it. You wake up. You are slapping another person's head. Amen. Hebrews 9:1, let's read together. I want to go. Even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service. And what? Verse 2. For a tabernacle was prepared. The first part in which was the table. Mm-hmm. The part of the tabernacle, which is called what? Verse 4. The Ark of Covenant, overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were what? The golden pot that had manna. Aaron's rod that... What is it describing? The Old Testament temple. Are you see what I'm saying? Verse 5. Above it were what? Cherubims of glory, overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these we cannot speak in... Verse 6. What does he say? Now when these things have thus been prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle, performing his services. But into the second part, the high priest did what? But not without blood, which he offered for... So what is he saying? Remember the law. He's reminding you of the law. This is how the New Testament explains the old. Explains the old. Do you get what I'm saying? The writer of Hebrews is teaching you now. He's reminding you that, remember that if the high priest was going to enter the holies of holies, he will first kill blood for himself, kill animal for himself. Then he will now use that blood to enter. If he does not do it, he will die. Is it fair that he dies? It might not be fair, but it was God's standard. You can't come to me except blood is shed. That's what God was teaching them. Are you getting this? There's no access to me without the shedding of blood. Are you seeing this? Then he will go in and make atonement for their sins. Verse 8. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. Next verse. For the present time, in which both gifts and sacrifices, which cannot make him who perfected it, perform the sacrifice perfect in regards to what? 10. Concerned only with food and drinks, various washing, and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of what? What is he telling you? He's saying that even the guy that is performing the sacrifice for you cannot even cleanse himself. That was the first covenant. Verse 11. Read together with everything you have. One to go. But Christ came as the high priest of good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with what? That is not of what? Next verse. Not with the blood of goats and cows, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place. Are you seeing that? Having obtained what? The other guy had to perform sacrifice for himself to enter. But he was not perfect. But this guy, Jesus, who came, is going to enter with his own blood. Are you see what I'm saying? Because he was sinless. So his blood can take. He says he came with eternal redemption. Are you learning something? Next verse, what does he say? He says, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of Haifa and sprinkling the unclean sanctifies the purifying of the flesh. Next verse. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without? Do you see that? They always use spotless lamb as their sacrifice. But Jesus himself is spotless without sin. Then he offers his own life. The blood of bulls and goats was not eternal. The life of bulls and goats was not eternal. The life of Christ is eternal, but then he gave his life. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So theirs will wash it for 1 year, but the eternal life will wash it eternally. Are you getting what I'm teaching you? He will wash it what? Eternally. What does he say next? Cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve what? Verse 15, what does he say? Of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgression under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive what? Verse 16. For where there's a testament, there must be what? Meaning that if there's a testament, there must be the blood of the testator. Blood must be shed for a new testament to come in.
So let me ask you a question. Where does the New Testament start in your Bible? Matthew? Acts. Why? Jesus did not die until the beginning of Acts. So the New Testament is not the division between that white line in your Bible. A New Testament cannot start without the death of a testator. I thought you heard this before. Okay, I just heard this now. I didn't explain it that time. Okay. Does that make sense?
It makes sense now.
A New Testament cannot start until the death of a testator. So the white line between your Bible does not show the death of any testator. So even in the Gospels, they were operating in the old covenant until Jesus died. Because nobody has died for anybody's sins in the Gospels. Jesus had come, he was telling them, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. But the way they went to that kingdom is when he dies. So until the end of the Gospels, when Jesus finally died, that was when the New Testament started. Are you getting what I'm teaching you? I have a lot to show you, but God. Amen. Verse 23. Oh my God, this is powerful. Let me see how I can skip. Say thank you, Jesus. Say thank you for salvation. Verse 23, let's read together. I want to go. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things... Verse 24. For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are copy. How did Moses get those things? He had a vision of heaven. So the real thing is in heaven. So if your high priest cannot enter heaven, he cannot make a full atonement before God. So the fact that Jesus resurrected from the dead and went to the Father with his own blood, entering into the holies of holies in heaven, not the holies of holies made with hands. He went to the real thing, not the thing that was a copy. Do you see that? Not the stuff that was a copy. He went to the root and he faced God and he said, I have come for the sins of these ones. Are you getting what the Bible is teaching you here? I have come because of the sins of these ones. Where do we stop? 24. Next verse. Okay. Let's read together. I want to go. We've read this already now. We've not finished. Okay. But into heaven itself, now to appear what? Next verse. Not that he should offer himself. Hey, are you seeing that? As the high priest that enters the most holy place every year, he's not doing that. Next verse. He then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the age, he has appeared to put away the sin by the sacrifice of himself. So he did it once and for all. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Next verse. As is appointed for men to die once, but after this is what? So unlike that guy that did it every time, Jesus did it what? He said if he has to do it every time, then we have to be killing Jesus every time. So that, he said, but he did it once. Once and for all. Yeah. He says, appointed for man to die once and after that judgment. So he's actually trying to show you that if Jesus was man and he died, he's going to heaven. He's not coming back here. Are you see what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Let's skip very quickly to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 1. You know what? After this Hebrews text, we'll round up. Agreed? Okay. Agreed? Okay. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 1, everybody. Want to go? For the law. The Old Testament is a shadow of what? Do you see that? The law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image. Your shadow is not you. It can tell a story of you, but your shadow is not you. Do you see that? So, but not the very image of the thing, can never with the same sacrifice which they offer continually make those things perfect. Next verse. For then they would not have ceased to be offered. For worshippers, once purified, would have had no more, what? Verse 3, everybody read together. There is a remainder of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, he came into the world and said, sacrifices and offerings you did not desire. What is he saying? If that prophecy is going to be fulfilled, that I will remember your sins no more. It cannot happen if you are giving me yearly sacrifices.
I will always remember. Are you seeing this? I will always remember. It will not happen. So it has to be offered once. And what? And for all. Verse 6. Oh, you know what? Go to verse 7. Okay, you know what? All these parts are not even necessary for us to read. I just want to make that point. Verse 12, everybody. Or 11. 11, want to go. And every priest stands ministering daily, offering repeated the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. Verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, sat at the right hand of God. Are you seeing what Christ did for you? This is perfect. So if condemnation was to go, I say, see that girl. You just say, oh, no, it's not true. I'm here. I've died for her sins. She's justified. She's free. She's blessed. She's saved. Are you seeing what I'm teaching you? This is a perfect sacrifice. Perfect. We'll round up with this. Romans chapter 10. Why are you smiling? I love it. Romans chapter 4, rather. Verse 1. Have you heard that video? Say, when men of God say, I'm about to round up. 5 hours later, I'm sorry. Romans chapter, I had a lot, but let me round up. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. Are you ready? Let's read together. One to go. What then shall we say? That Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh. Next verse. For if Abraham was justified by work, he has something to boast about, but not before God. Next verse. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for what? Next verse. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. What does he mean here? He's saying, if you work and they pay you, that's not a gift. That's your wage. Next verse. But to him who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted to him as what? He's saying if you work, what you receive cannot be righteousness, because righteousness is a gift. Freely given. Are you seeing that? If you work, what you receive is a wage. But if you don't, what you receive is a gift. That's why it's called the gift of righteousness. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Verse 6. What does he say? Just as David describes the blessedness of the man to whom what?
The Lord imputes righteousness apart.
So, there is a blessed man, and it's not the richest man you know. It's the man that God would impute righteousness upon, apart from works. I'm that man. Glory! God would impute righteousness on somebody that is not because of his works. That's a blessed man. Are you getting what I'm saying? Next verse. It says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are
forgiven.
It's not a bad thing that you receive righteousness by faith. It's a good thing. You are blessed. Are you seeing what I'm saying? You are blessed. It says, and whose sins are what? Are covered. Verse 8. Blessed is that man to whom God will not impute sin. Blessed. Say, I'm blessed. Say, I'm that man. Say, I'm blessed. Say, I'm that man. This is powerful. I might not have all the money in the world, but I'm blessed. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm blessed. I am that man. Look at Zacchaeus. He had all the money in the world, but he knew there was a blessedness that is not of riches. There's something to be rich in Christ. There's something to be rich in the world. Are you with me? I will be okay knowing that listen, even when it comes to financial prosperity, your greatest proof that God can help you is because he did not withhold from you his son. The greatest proof of God's love to you is not riches, is his son. So even if you don't have riches and you have his son, you are blessed. Are you getting what I'm saying? And if it takes the whole world, if it takes 5 million years for those riches to come, you are still blessed. You have something no one can take away from you. Because this earth is infinitesimal compared to eternity. You've received riches in eternity.
Yes, sir.
You might not have riches in this world, but that's why I'm sad. When I see a beggar, you are not saved. You are suffering in this world. You want to go and suffer in eternity too. You better receive salvation. Are you getting what I'm saying? you better receive salvation. Because I'm going to be rich in what matters, in what counts. That's eternity. And that's what it means to be blessed. That's why our response as believers is different. When the Bible says blessed is the man, it does not always talk about God. It says blessed are we when we go through various temptations. Blessed are we when we go through trials. So a blessed man can suffer. That's different from the theology that we are used to. The moment some people suffer, everything has turned up and upside down. Is God not real? What is going on? But that's not what we have learned. Scripture tells us, blessed is the man who goes through various trials. He's still blessed because he has something in Christ. And he is consistent in what matters. But listen, eternal blessings can attract earthly blessings. Are you listening to me? It is not the real thing, but it can attract earthly blessings. Amen. So, the way we perceive blessedness must what? Must change. Hallelujah. The way we perceive blessedness must what? Must change. It says, blessed is that man. I'll give you the text that should be your memory verse moving forward. Psalms 103 verse 12. Rise up on your feet as we read this together. Psalms 103. Have you learned something today? Are you a blessed man? Psalm 103 verse 12. We're going to read this together, and as we read it, we're going to say thank you for salvation, Jesus. If you need to rejoice, I want you to spend the time rejoicing. Thank God in the way you thank the person who died for you and rose again. Amen. Psalms 103 verse 12. What does he say? As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed. Do you believe that? The Bible says, blessed is the man to whom he will not impute sin. Say, I'm that man. Can you begin to pray? Say, I'm that man. Say, thank you for salvation. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for forgiveness of sin. Can you just pray wherever you are? I'm that man. I'm that blessed man. I'm that blessed man. I'm the man whom you've chosen to impute righteousness into. Not because of the works I can do, but because of faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Because of the blood of Jesus. Because of what Jesus did on the cross. I'm that man. Blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin. Say, I'm that man. Say, I'm that man. Say, I'm that man. Say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm justified. I'm blessed. I'm justified. I'm blessed. It doesn't matter my earthly status. I'm blessed. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. I'm blessed. This is the one thing the world did not give me. And so the world cannot take away. Say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And I respond in joy. I respond in joy. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. Say, blessed am I. Because God does not impute sin into me. Say, I'm blessed. Even when I go through hard times, I'm blessed. When I go through good times, I'm blessed. Say, I'm blessed. I'm forgiven. I'm highly favored. Shout glory. Hallelujah. This is how you live your life. This is how to receive the joy that is eternal. Because the world didn't give you, so they cannot take it away. Unless they can unkill Jesus, you are blessed. Are you see what I'm saying? Unless they can revoke the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, you are blessed. And nothing can take it away. The Bible says he became the author of eternal salvation. Are you getting what I'm saying? You are blessed. Sealed with the Holy Ghost forever. You are blessed. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the laws of life in Christ Jesus have done what? Have set me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. So the law was never going to make me righteous. Say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Can you just declare it over your life one more time? Say, thank you for salvation. I'm blessed. You cannot hear this and be having mood swings. I am blessed. It doesn't matter what is going on. I'm blessed. Blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. I'm that 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 man.
Thank you for the seed of righteousness in my heart. Thank you for changing my spirit. Thank you for changing my heart. Glory to your name. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Shout glory. Glory. All right. Have your